It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Mija podcast. I'm here with the homegirl Fox. Say what up, Fox.
What up?
She's here, you guys. This was all doing by our friend Eric. He slid in her DMs before I could even do it. Yes. And because on my last episode, I was telling the homegirl Arlene, happy birthday, Arlene. Happy birthday. We went out to dinner last night for her birthday. But I was telling her that I listen to your podcast all the time.
Oh, okay.
And that I wanted to, I told her, I was like, I feel like I already know her. First of all, let's start there.
That's good.
But yeah, I mean, that's the vibe you're going for in your podcast,
that's
right?
That's the homegirl Fox, yeah.
That's what it is. And so I only talk to people that I can learn from.
I love that. That's me.
You know, and I recognize that same thing about you. And I recently Absolutely. Heard it in something that you said in your podcast. And so that's the reason why I wanted to have you on the show. So thank you for being here.
I'm happy to be here.
She's here.
Thanks for inviting.
And we're vibing. We were drinking some mimosas. We were listening to some Too Short. You know, it's a vibe. It's a vibe. We have our friend Jesse in the studio. What's up, Jesse?
Jesse was popping bottles in here. Literally. Thanks for the drink.
That shit exploded. I kind of forgot, though.
No warning.
And it happened to me, too, because, I mean, how often do you open champagne? I mean, I'm not at that point in my life where I'm opening champagne that often.
I actually have never opened one.
Yeah. See?
Because of that, though. I don't want that to happen to me. So that was exactly why I've never done it.
Makes sense to me. What'd you do this weekend?
You know what? I rested and I worked, of course, because workaholic a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the podcast?
With the podcast and things I need to get ready for. Just like stuff for YouTube. Like, people don't realize behind the scenes of this stuff, you got to do the artwork. You got to prepare your next shows. You got to book people. You got to put it in order. You got to edit. You got to, you know? So yeah. I got everything I needed to get done yesterday, and today's a perfect day just to chill.
Yeah. Sunday. I chose my podcast to be on Sunday because I feel like there's something like restful about Sunday, but also like holy. I mean, it's Sunday for a reason, you know. But yeah. I just feel like when I do my podcast, I speak a lot of truth, and there's like something like
relatable.
Sacred about that, okay. You know, sacred and but yeah, relatable too. Oh, I forgot to change the light color.
Change
I don't like
the
it
vibe
to be blue.
In here.
Yeah, you know, you could change it to purple.
Purple. Oh.
Oh, see there.
Yeah, that's a vibe.
It's royal. Purple is a royal color, right? We have to acknowledge that. That's why everything in here is purple.
Oh, okay. I see you.
So that's what they told me. Keith was like very intentional about that. It's like a royal color.
Oh, I thought you came up with that.
No,
you were
but
being smart.
But you know, so okay, what did I do this weekend? I had a packed weekend. Do you like getting ready?
Somewhat. Like yeah. I like getting ready to go to things that I like. I hate getting ready to go
when
to things
like,
I don't like.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like dreading it? Yeah.
Yeah, but like I don't like I take forever. I know that part.
Same.
So I don't like that part. Like I would rather pick the outfit than do the makeup. I feel like that takes longer. Mm-hmm. But I guess I'd be bullshitting doing my makeup because then I stop, I sing Ashanti,
smoke.
I stop. Oh, see, I don't even do that because then my eyes are too small to like do them right.
Put eyeliner
so
on.
Forget it. Yeah, no. It's just, I just bullshit the whole time. So it takes me like 2 hours.
Yeah, I swear. From getting in the shower to the time I'm actually walking out the door is at least 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because I had to get ready 3 times this weekend, and that was a lot for me. Because usually
that's a lot.
Like, but like full get ready, like full glam, yeah. Like with lashes. I consider with lashes to be like, I got ready
for sure.
You know, like if I'm not wearing lashes, it's like, oh whatever, let's just go eat. But so this weekend, first I have to do a little update on my dating app. Because on the last episode, we were talking about dating in 2021.
Okay,
and I had revealed on the show. Is that serious?
Gender revealed.
I had gender revealed on the show that I had downloaded a dating app.
Okay.
And that I had only had it for 1 day. So let's just say, and I'm not going to say more than this, I don't need to use it anymore.
Okay. So wait a minute.
So first I deleted it.
What dating app was it?
That's where I'm not going to reveal.
Because people are going to go check the profile, see if it's still there.
No, I feel like I feel like it's an embarrassing one.
Really?
Yeah. So we're just going to.
Can I tell you something?
Tell me.
I think they're all embarrassing.
No, because I think I heard you talking about that on your podcast. You were like, yeah, it's just, I don't have the
time.
Well,
it's a no for me, but you know what? Some people have actually found someone on it, like someone like who means something to them mm-hmm. on it, you know. But then there's some that are just kind of for the hooking up, and I feel like, I don't know, doesn't Instagram kind of defeat that purpose?
Yeah, that's what my homegirl was saying. Arlene was like, well, technically Instagram is a dating app.
That's what well, depending on how you use it, dating app, because mm-hmm. it's also for me, it's like a big work tool.
Yeah, no, well, depending on what you're using it for, exactly. Yeah. But it serves the same, it can serve many functions, like you said. So it is, like, you know, just as much of a dating app as any of the other ones.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's just say I deleted it.
Okay, dang, that was quick.
Man. I mean, yeah. So that's all that. I wanted to give an update.
Are you in a relationship was my whole, or
something? Definitely not.
Okay, no. Just like the person that you found, did you find someone on there?
I will not confirm or deny that. Right. You're like, bitch, so you're giving an update with no updates. I mean,
basically. But you know what? Everyone just kind of understood that was a
yes.
You
got the point. Okay. So so my first night that I went out, I did go on a date. And we went to Mama Por Dios. But that shit was ridiculous. So we left. Because let me tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to wait in line for a fucking restaurant like it's a club.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm not going to do. It was so ridiculous, girl. Let me tell you. First of all, who knew how ratchet it got?
Was it like that?
It was like that. It was like, well, I mean, it just barely opened, the one in Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like more, I felt like they were trying to go like more up class.
Upscale.
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. And it just went in a different direction. And so now it's just kind of like, I feel like it's burnt out now.
I feel like. Right now, after getting out of a pandemic, most places are like that. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. people just are wilding out wherever they go. Yeah. They just were inside way too long.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm like, I've been like very the opposite, where like I have been staying inside more. Mm-hmm. Not because of I'm scared or anything like that, but I'm like, I do avoid getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one way of controlling it. That's one way of controlling it. Well, you're like, I can't get in trouble, you know, if I don't go nowhere, if I don't leave the house.
It's true. And, like, I guess I'm trying to be more disciplined with everything I got going on. So, I guess, like, I'm trying my best. But I know myself, like, when I'm out there, like, I'm a wild girl. Like, it's in me.
Like that one TikTok where she's like, the streets love me. I love the streets. And so I want to keep my family. It's so
like, you cannot deny this love we have. For sure. I love the streets.
Me plus the street you. Equals desmadre. So, yeah, we went there. And then we ended up going because I was like, can we just go get tacos? Because I'm just not, this is not where I'm at in my life anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, there was a time where I was like, I did bottle service. Oh, I was bottle service hostess.
So even knowing that part of it, you're like really tired of it.
Just, it was a hell of for me. And so, 45 minutes, we had a reservation at 10. Mm-hmm. At 10:45, Mama Por Dios is calling. Mm. Like, your table's ready. I was like, that was not.
Nah, nobody's waiting for you.
No, so we got Thai food at Toy on Sunset. Fire.
Fire. So it was nice. Was it packed or no?
Toy? Mm-hmm. Nah, that was just, that's like a place where you just, if you're hungry, you go eat.
Oh, okay. You know, so real chill mode.
Yeah, but I mean, we still were dressed for Mama Por Dios.
But don't you think going to a place like that is just, it's supposed to be the vibe for a date? Because I feel like a wild place is not the place for a date.
Yeah, because it's too loud. It's too, like, you can't.
Are you okay? Is there a bug?
I'm gonna be okay. I feel like you want to get to know the person. You want to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, that's the whole point of a date, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
People and forget that, and they take like girls to the clubs or like the bars and stuff. And I always tell them, like, I don't think that's a date.
Well, because those are the dudes that think the amount of money they spend matters.
Really?
Like, I think that they're trying to impress either with who they know, with who they're around. Like, that's where they bring their worth from.
I feel like there's an intention to get a, well, not just get a girl, but the girl wants the same thing. Like, if we get drunk or we're going to get a little bit more loose. Mm. Like, we're going to be ourselves.
But you can drink at Yard House. Like, you don't have, you can drink anywhere. That's true. There's drinks at, you know.
Different Yard Houses are wild.
Yeah.
Like, some are chill and, like, you don't mess around there. And then some are just, like, a wild playground.
Which one's wild?
The one in Rancho is wild. The one in, let's see, like, the one in Pasadena is chill. Like, I've never partied at the one in Pasadena.
Yeah.
But the Rancho one, every time I meet my friends out there, I'm like, this is a wild spot.
You're lit.
Yeah. It's lit. Yeah.
that the Mama Por Dios, that's where they started out there in Rancho. Oh, really? Yeah, and that's where I started to see like videos of their drinks.
Oh, okay.
And that's what made me want to go because you know they're very Instagrammable.
Yeah,
you know,
Instagrammable. That was the first time I've ever heard that. Instagrammable.
I made it up. I will copyright that. And
what's the definition of Instagrammable?
Like it's something that you would want to post.
So like
if you get bitch, you're not gonna post this at the club. Like, but if it's smoking,
you don't know me, I'm the homegirl. I'll post whatever I want.
If it's smoking and it has like chile and it has like
shit in it.
This
is for the Instagram.
Yeah.
I send to whoever.
Yeah.
Boom. Okay, I get it.
Faded with the faded.
Okay.
But no, if you're Instagramming, you're just like trying to live that life. You know, like go out, you know, because they have drinks that are like smoking and shit and come in like a cage.
Yeah.
You know, so Instagrammable.
Okay.
Write that down.
Instagrammable, guys.
So then the next day we went to Javier's, which is the same like type of clubby, like you just can't escape it.
Yeah.
You just can't escape it. I don't know. Like, I guess you really just have to choose where you go or not go to those like, you know. Known places.
Did
like
you
that.
Go to? You said you went to Javier's like what the next day?
Yeah, so Saturday last
with
night
with that same person?
No, with for a friend, Arlene. Happy birthday, Arlene!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! so yeah, it was her birthday, so we went to Javier's. The food was bomb, and because I can never finish my food, so I always have leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
So in the morning, I made a chile verde burrito.
That's
girl, it was so good.
I'm such
first
a leftovers girl.
Yeah, first of all, that plate of chile verde was $40.
Oh, shit.
So, you know, I wasn't going to leave it there.
Hell like,
No.
Nope.
But it was delicious, like the tomatillo sauce. So I highly suggest that if you guys do need to have an Instagrammable moment at Javier's, then order the chile verde because it's good.
Moment. I like that.
What other update do I have? I have the update of, oh, I had my box party. So...
What
I don't know if you've
box?
Heard. This is...
Season of Self box.
This is the Season of Self toolbox.
Nice.
And this is actually a gift for you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was just about to ask you, like, what tools you have
What is
here.
In it? Well, so I told you in 2019...
Not eyelash glue.
No, a bitch didn't have to stop for eyelash glue because this shit came off.
Not ice.
And none of the things you needed for the show, but you stopped and got eyelash glue.
Not you, too.
How to set up YouTube, but she knows that she made sure to stop for lash glue. So this is my toolbox. So these are tools that I put together like for a healing journey. So there's sage in there. There's
sticker pack.
Everything in here comes from a brown owned business. And
that's beautiful. I love this box.
Everything in this box is intentional. And so the Season of Self is their workshops that I do that basically, so this is from my sunset ceremony. So this is like a little custom cucovija where
I love it.
I go
it's
up
going in my
to,
studio.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I go up to watch the sunset pretty much every day to kind of have my journaling time.
Really?
Because during my detox, I was not okay at all.
You were and telling
so
me about that.
I needed
bit.
To have a grounding, a way to ground myself. So if you open that up, it has the Season of Self. Self contract in it. So you sign a contract with yourself.
Wow.
Talking about how you're going to go on this journey of kind of like this lifelong journey of looking ahead and getting to know yourself. Because I have this theory that you can't love yourself until you like yourself, and you can't like yourself until you know yourself. So I designed that.
Showing everybody on IG.
These are the zines that we have. I created the zine, which is the story of Season of Self and how it got created. And I collabed with Ashley from Brown Girl Travel. So shout out Ashley.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
I see that.
Shout out. Like everything in this box is intentional and it all means a lot to me. There's also a ticket for a workshop in there. When I have a workshop and you ever want to sign up, or you can also give it as a gift to someone else.
This is really great.
Thank you.
No, for real. Like this is, this was like, you could tell like a lot of intention was put into this and it came from your story. And I really admire it, honestly.
Thank you. I wanted to give it to you just because when I'm listening to your podcast, I feel so, like, I hear you. You know, we're going to jump around. This is not going to go how I wanted it to go, but
you're
fuck
good,
it.
You're good. Off top.
You talked a lot about, you know, you talked about having a spiritual experience when you wrote a letter to yourself.
I was just about to bring that up because you gave me that.
And
yeah.
That's why I gave it to you because I heard you having that conversation.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? She's there. She's on her season. You're already in your Season of Self.
For sure. I think my podcast brought me to those moments of myself. But my friend Crystal, we weren't friends for a long time, and we reconnected. And while we weren't friends, she went through a lot of things, and she went to therapy, and she got, I don't want to say fixed, but she got to a
place.
Started
healing.
She got to a place to find her healing, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, and find her truest self and all of the above. And just our conversations, how she made me do that, I didn't realize it was going to help me so much because yeah. I thought it sounded silly.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know, and that's why when you even said you were actually, like, seeing the sunset and journaling, I'm like, dang, like, that's intense, but that probably works so much for you.
Well, it was like there were only so many options because yeah. I didn't have the money to go to right. rehab. And my body, I had been on psych meds for 10 years. So my yeah. body was like, whew, I had no energy. Bro, I couldn't read. I stopped being able to read. Like, what? I would look at the page to read something,
yeah.
and the words would, like, shake.
Ooh.
I can look at it now and read, yeah, but, like, yeah. at the time when I first started getting off, it was, like, weird. And then if I would try to read an email, I'll basically have an anxiety attack. It would just yeah. overwhelm me. Like, it was yeah. just weird. Like, there was a lot of weird, like, side effects that I didn't even know would ever yep. come.
Yep.
But that was just part of my body getting rid of all those toxins, all that medicine, all that bullshit yeah. that I was using to numb myself for so long.
Did you smoke before that?
No, I didn't. Well, I started smoking probably like about, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
And that was like very like little bit, you know.
Okay, just not a lot, yeah.
What's funny is because I grew up in the NA program, you know, NA, Narcotics Anonymous.
Oh, okay.
Like
no,
where,
I
you
didn't.
Know, they sit in a circle and, you
yeah.
know, I'm Angie and
you
I'm
grew
an
up?
Addict. Yeah, I'm an NA baby, so my mom and dad both were heroin addicts.
Okay.
So I grew up going to those meetings.
Got you.
And so it's funny because growing up like that, you look at drugs mm-hmm. as the end result is they tell you jails, institutions, or death.
Yeah.
But nobody ever tells you that just because a doctor prescribes it to you doesn't mean it's not a drug and you can't get addicted to
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I'm over here judgmental, right?
Yeah, you have to
about
learn that.
This.
Yeah, later it comes.
And then know? And then later on, I'm like, well, I should have just been smoking from the fucking beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have been fine. Like,
I actually have an episode on that with Mike James. He was in the NFL and he was addicted to opioids and he switched up and he didn't like himself that way. And he was like, I need help. And they told him, like, you know, smoke. And he was afraid to start doing that, but he got into it. And now he's, like, a big advocate for cannabis mm-hmm. just for that specific reason what you went through.
Yeah.
And, like, he's the reason they don't get in trouble for that.
Mm-hmm. You know, because the nature, the healing, the all that stuff, I started, at the same time I was going through my detox, I started doing these energy healing cleanses with a healer because I was also in therapy, and I figured this is as low as it could possibly be. Like, there's only mm-hmm. one direction to go from here.
Up.
And I can either deal with this shit now, because there's when people use drugs or anything, mm-hmm. alcohol, anything to numb themselves, there's pain there.
Yeah, and it's pain that is still.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's there
stagnant.
When it's, yeah, it's stagnant. It's mm-hmm. it's there when you're done. It's there on your come down. It's worse on your come down. Like, it doesn't go away. I actually learned this, like, last year for the holidays, just from alcohol. I told myself I wasn't
going
to drink.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted
I was
to ask
grieving.
About that.
Yeah, I was grieving super hard from the year before when I lost my Nana in 2019.
Rest in peace.
Thank you. And it was December. Well, I grieved the whole year, and I mean, I already like to drink. I already like to party. I already said the streets love me, but
and I love the streets.
And I love the streets. But I was I was really bad to where, like, I was drinking, driving, and like not knowing how I drove myself. Like, just being like, oh my, how did I?
Did you have DUIs too?
No, I don't.
God's grace
for real. And I felt that, and I knew that. And then getting closer to the holiday, I told myself, you know what? You're going to try something different, because the same things that you're doing aren't making the best result, right?
Insanity. That's
exactly.
the definition.
So I went through the holidays, which is the time to drink, the time to indulge, the time
yeah.
to, you know, and I just decided I was going to chill out and sit there. And if I had to sit there and not go to certain things because that was there, I sat there. And I cried a lot. I moped a lot. I ate a lot. But I felt it after.
You felt a lot.
Yeah, I felt
You
so
felt
much.
Your feelings. That's so new to many of us.
Yeah.
That's new. And that's you learn that all you have to do, that feelings are for feeling, and all you have to do is feel them, and then you don't have to walk around with this fucking backpack full of depression.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I could put this down. Oh, shit. Oh, okay. Yeah. Let me just go to my sunset then, because, you know, like, all of those, nature is medicine. And so that my a large part of my healing has happened in nature. And a large amount of the, like, realizations about my own life has happened in nature.
Nice.
You know, so that cover, that little blanket, that's for that. Just to put in your backpack and go have anywhere. You can sit anywhere because it's so small. You know, you just sit there and watch the sunset from wherever. Because when I didn't have anything to look forward to, when I didn't, I felt like not being here. Like, that come down is terrible.
For sure.
You know, and so I felt like not being here so many times. And the only thing that, like, was for sure is, like, everything else could be going wrong, but the sun's gonna set.
100.
The sun's gonna set, and I have something to look for. I had to give myself something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And then once I started watching the sunset, I couldn't believe how many sunsets I had missed.
Mm.
And it was like, now I can't. Now that can never not be a part of my life, you know?
Yeah. Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
That's, I think, good that you found something like that.
The question I wanted to ask about the grieving was, you know, what have you learned from grieving? Making the choice to be sober while grieving your nana, like, that that choice comes from a place of wisdom.
You know, I didn't know that I was making that type of choice. I just knew that I was grieving so hard, and what I did the year before, I didn't want to do again. But I did notice that I didn't just grieve about my nana. I grieved about people that I had lost before. Mm. Like, it came up.
Yeah.
It just all came up all at the same time. Because I had hid away from those things for years. So everything that I hid away from during last year's holiday came up.
Mm.
So not numbing myself, honestly, after that, when I hit January, I just had, like, more of a clear mindset. And I wasn't carrying that backpack anymore.
Yeah.
Although I have it,
mm-hmm.
I'm not holding it up the way I used to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because I made myself sit through it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if that was a good choice or not. I don't know where that came from. But subconsciously, it was like, you should do it. You should just try.
Because the only way out is through.
Yeah.
And we try to find all these different...
But see, that's the thing. Like, I could have told you that before I did that and whatnot. And I would have just... I would have said it and believed it. But everybody says things and with belief behind it, but no action.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I could do that, but I'm good.
Here's the reasons why I'm not, you know,
yeah.
Or why I don't necessarily need to. Because you start justifying shit. When you start making excuses for yourself because you don't really want to stop.
Well,
you don't really want to feel. You don't really want to have the consequences of making yourself feel pain, because most people run away from pain their entire life, not knowing that everything they ever wanted is just on the other side of
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So what it is that. You don't want to, you not only don't want to feel, you don't want to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that year, you know, when I wrote that letter after that, and like, I sat there and I couldn't even write the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, I just caught myself being like, dude, you don't want to feel like, you don't even want
to. Just to be clear, it was a letter about yourself.
Yeah. So my friend had me write.
To yourself.
Yeah. To anybody who's listening. My friend had me write. And this is actually a really good thing. If you've never done it, I would suggest you try it. She asked me to write a love letter to myself. And to start it off, you have to start off with, dear my beloved, and then your name. And just writing, dear my beloved Sammy Joe. And like right now, I said that so clear and my voice don't drop. And I have no sadness when I say that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I wrote that, it's almost like you're so sad you don't believe what you're writing.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm writing a lie. Like I don't see myself. I don't love myself enough, so this is hurting me. You know what I mean? And then I noticed the whole letter was, like, honestly apologizing to me.
Mm.
So
you don't realize there's an open wound there.
Yeah, and it took that letter for me to see what my friend was talking about when she's always talking about doing the work. And people who know that those terminology and
like the work.
The lingo and all that, it's because they probably have been to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, too, like, I'm not stepping out of the things that I'm doing to go to therapy. I'm not making time for it. I'm not doing this and that. But I do try to set some type of tones for myself here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of them, to go through my grief and not be drunk.
Yeah.
You know, not be on drugs, just to face it and honestly, to get jumped.
Thug it out.
To thug it out. Like, that was the real thing in my head that I was like, I just need
if you a gangster, this is how you really show it. Do your shadow work, bitch.
You need to do your shadow work. You need to get that body work. And then it was done. And then it was done. I wasn't as sad. I have my moments. If you know, if I hear music or I miss my Nana every day, I get teary-eyed. I do it all. But as bad as it was, I was, you know, I was stuck in it. I'm not as stuck in it as I was.
Yeah.
You know, and that was... That was because I went sober. That was because I really sat through it.
Did the work. Yeah. And not the work that... I always try to be as clear as possible because then people are like... People will make excuses. But you can't make an excuse for hearing the dead-ass truth in your ears right now. Yeah. The work is doing the shit that you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the work. In order to heal yourself from... And you can... Some people won't even admit they have trauma. So let's start there. You know, that's a whole different place to start. Oh, yeah. But once you at least... acknowledge and accept that, and you say, okay, you know what, I didn't have the perfect childhood, and there are things I need to heal from, and I will admit that, because like, your wounds may not be your fault, but your healing is your responsibility now. Because it's just you,
no one can do it for you.
You're the only person you're gonna be with your entire life,
for sure. And you're always gonna, as much as you deny and push away and whatnot, you're going to carry that with you into relationships, into work environments, into your kids, you know? Like, it definitely does a lot more damage than we're aware of, you know? And I think our generation right now, like, people that are breaking these cycles and you know, talking like this, because I didn't grow up in a place where they talk like this. Like, you're being a sister.
That's why you were talking to your mom, and I was like, she talks to her mom. Her mom talks back. Her mom answers the questions.
Pastor
she P. doesn't cry. She doesn't cry before she asks. I'm mad. Because there's like,
that's funny.
I think they're growing up, I was scared of my mom. You know?
Oh, yeah. We all kind of were.
You can like tell by her footsteps what kind of day is going to be. Like when she's walking it, you know, and then, or you can feel the vibe. And then that's how kids learn to become people pleasers.
Because
they learn that other people's feelings and mood is my responsibility.
Yeah.
So I need to change what I'm doing, make sure everything's picked up or whatever, you know, it might be. And no one recognizes that as a form of trauma because you're not being smacked across the head.
Oh, for sure. I always say that when it comes to your kids, like, asking questions. Like, we grew up in a place where, like, you can't ask more than, like, two questions. You're lucky if you could ask one. Yeah. Because if you ask two or three, you're getting a shut up already. Yeah. Or, you know what I mean? You're getting pushed to the side. But then I didn't realize that whole time I had trauma of asking questions until I was way older. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, why am I so damn dumb? And, like, it went back. Like, I was actually working at Trader Joe's. And, like, this little kid was with... It actually was a white family. It was a little kid and his mom. And he was asking about everything. What's that? And I'm thinking, God, shut this kid up. He's fucking annoying.
You're like, my mom would have hit me by now.
Hell yeah. Like, can you control this kid, you know? And she answered every question.
Like, just patient, huh?
And I was like, you know what? When I went to Trader Joe's, it was a culture shock for me, okay? Mm-hmm. I didn't know what a lot of... People always laugh, I didn't know what Brussels sprouts were. I didn't know what a lot of those things were because I didn't grow up eating that. I ate tacos, SpaghettiOs, McDonald's.
Top ramen.
Yeah, Pop-Tarts, like, you know? But I didn't know, like, what a lot of those things were. And when she answered every, like, question...
Without getting mad.
Yeah, I called my mom later. I was like, you cheated us.
That's real, though.
I was just thinking, like, real talk. Like, I felt cheated. But I'm sure when she was younger, my Nana wasn't going to answer all her damn questions. Yeah.
It just becomes the same cycle. Like, I was mad.
Yeah.
I trip out because my big sister, she has two adopted children.
Okay.
And when one of them... came from a family that the mother was on drugs, and so from a very young age my nephew Anthony struggled with his behavior, like, just automatically. And when I seen her one time, and I'll never forget it, because it was like I was watching the cycle be broken in front of me, because he started having a tantrum, and instead of screaming at him to stop having a tantrum, my sister sat down with him and showed him how to breathe, like, how to calm himself down. Ooh, it gives me chills because I was like...
Like, we're not going to talk until you do
that. That one tool, that might have saved me a lot of problems in my life.
Same, girl.
Like, just that one tool, like, how to breathe, how to call. Yeah. And so it was beautiful, you know, like for I feel sure. I like teared up because I'm like, it's that simple.
For sure. I would get called dramatic, and then I would break a window because I'd be like,
let me show you how dramatic
you
I am.
What dramatic is?
Yeah.
Like,
because a feeling unheard is, man, that's like gotta be, you know, that's probably the reason why we have podcasts or the reason why we do what we do.
It might be
because if you grow up from an early age feeling unheard, then you're like, you know, motherfucker, you're gonna hear me. Yeah. Somebody's gonna listen. Shoot. I have the microphone.
Yeah. Now. Yeah, that and like just talking so much. Like I talk so much in school.
Yeah, did I used to get that on my report cards. Yeah,
like, talking too much, easily distracted.
We got, you know, I got those on my report card
and
for
everyone
sure.
Everyone thinks you're going to be a failure in life, but that's not true.
Another question I wanted to ask you was, how do you identify with a fox? Why is that your animal?
Do you feel like a fox vibe for me?
Well, I think, this is your, I think I heard it on your podcast, like you kind of alluded to it, but then that was a question, follow-up question I had.
It's like, just, it's kind of like a bunch of stuff.
It kind of feels like slick, like a finesse.
You know,
like,
what? However, like that got to me. It was from actually. There's this lady from the '80s. She was a singer. Her name was Samantha Fox. Mm-hmm. So my mom was like, you know, calling me Samantha Fox as a baby, and my sister would call me that too. But then I got older, and I didn't like my last name because I didn't really grow up with my father, mm-hmm. and. I was like, you know what? Because sometimes I get called Samantha Fox from my family.
Yeah.
So I was like, one day I'm going to change it. Like, I found out, like, in fifth grade that you can actually change your name, your last name. So I was like, oh, yeah. As soon as, like, I'm 18, I'm going to change this thing to Fox.
Yeah.
But as I got older, it started being, like, once I started seeing that, like, side of me that was, like, more sexier, like that alter ego-ish, uh-huh. I was like, you know what? When I'm that person, I'm Samantha Fox.
You got your Jessica Rabbit going
on. My Sasha Fierce.
Okay.
You feel me?
Your alternate ego.
Yes. Uh-huh. So I was like, okay, like Samantha Fox. And then, you know, Fox Racing was in. I'm very into like skateboarding and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, like the Fox logo.
Yeah.
And then I kept getting older. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, you Foxy.
Okay.
And, like, you clever. Uh-huh. And, like, you are slick.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, like, it was, like, the animal became me. It was, like, that stuck and that stayed around my life for a reason. Mm-hmm. Shit.
Like, that theme kind
Dude,
of, like.
Dude, one time I dyed my hair a certain color and, like, I started to, like, my nose. And I was, like, I guess I kind of
like, am I morphing into
I'm like morphing into this damn animal, you know?
You remember those books from like school?
Where they go to one and like
turn
to the other?
Yeah, the cover. I never read them. I just seen them on the cover.
I saw them at book fairs and walked right out. So yeah.
And bought a pencil, some fucking cute shit for like my binder.
Are you kidding? I could barely afford lunch. Like they wanted you to buy books. You're fucking crazy.
Man, the free lunch program.
Hell yeah.
but you know, speaking of that, I used to get excited over some nasty ass food.
Same.
Nasty ass fucking pizza. That shit used to be out like, hell yeah, it's time to pizza day.
Dude, the breakfast pizza was fire. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was a little square, it had sausage on it. I know. You know, rainy days, there was the mashed potatoes with the gravy.
With the chicken in it.
It
was like chicken and gravy. Who knows? But I'm hoping that it was so good.
I was so happy to eat.
Oh my God, we were poor.
Yeah. For sure.
I had, I had like an interesting childhood because we would go between moments like that. Like, mm-hmm. like that's factual. Like I was straight up eating SpaghettiOs. Like, cause my mom would be out like at casinos every night. And, but then we had this other side to where like my mom would date these like guys that she would meet at the casino and they had money. And so then we would end up at like fucking Morton Steakhouse.
Oh shit.
You know, so I had like exposure to
Still
those
haven't
things.
Been there.
But then go home to like our apartment. You know? So it was like it was an interesting experience.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I like just tried steak. Like I've just became a steak eater.
Steak?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I had carne asada my whole life, but I'm talking about steak.
Yeah, like a filet mignon?
Like, yes. Like, last year, I became, like, a steak person. So people would, like, I'd go on dates, and I'd be very embarrassing. Like, no wonder I never got second dates. Because they'd be like, why don't you order, like, a steak or something? And I'm like, all right. And then I'd be like, order steak. And then like, how do you want your steak?
Don't bitch. Did you say well done?
No, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I'm just like, how do I want it? Like,
yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know, on my plate.
If that's the reason why you didn't get a second date, that you don't want to date him anyways.
Well,
will you give me another mimosa, please?
Don't pop no bottles.
It's already been popped. He got that shit all over him. I'm so sorry. I should have warned you.
But yeah, I'm still, in fact, the last person that like I, well, the person I'm with now, I used to be with her a long time ago. Okay. Like now I'm dating women. So when me and her first met, she was a big baller. Well, she's still a big baller.
So are you in a relationship?
I am in a relationship right now. Why you put that? Sometimes it's hell. Do you have a hell button?
Wait.
Thank you. I feel so much better that you did that, girl. You're like, what'd you do this weekend? I'm all fight.
Oh, no.
But no, like, when she's a baller, I was not. And I told her, like, I used to say no to dates because I had no money. And sure enough, like, she'd take me to places. And people, friends, family, if they take me to places, they're like, what's wrong with you? And it's like, I'm like an alien.
You
like,
feel like you don't belong there.
I don't even feel like I don't belong there. I just feel like I've never been here, so I don't know what to do. You know, like, I went to this sushi spot, like, on a rooftop, and they gave me, like, a wet towel. And I started cleaning the table.
Bitch. Wait, what are you supposed to do with it, though?
I guess you were supposed to just wipe your hands.
Oh, oh.
But shit, I don't fucking know.
Like, I wouldn't. I'm like, I know I'm not. I probably wouldn't have touched it because I wouldn't know what to do with it. But I wouldn't have cleaned the table.
I thought they were trying to tell me, like, they gave me the towel, like, maybe there was something there, and I was like, all right, fuck it. And they're like, what are you doing?
They need to put that in a movie. Yeah. They need to put that like in the scene of a movie.
Yeah, maybe my movie in the future.
Yes, maybe we'll your see. Netflix novela, Netflix, like Mariposa de Barrio, which is what we're about to. You know, we're about to get into that because. Because you know, when I heard Jenny, La Jenny.
La Jenny. That's the real homegirl right there.
Man, so thank you so much. So I'm a new fan too because I did it. I knew, we all knew who she was.
Yeah, my mom, my mom was a big fan too.
I knew she died. I knew who she was. I knew she existed, but I didn't know shit about her life.
Oh, yeah. Me neither. My mom loved her, and I was like, okay, mom, cool. She was like, oh, you don't understand? And I'd be like, cool.
Yeah.
And, once I seen her, I was like, you know what? When I was in school, I remember them showing me videos of her. Like, my homegirls, you know, they would go to those things, like, all young and shit. Uh-huh. And they would be like, you know, check this out, whatever. And she'd be taking shots, and she'd be drinking. And I'd be like, fuck yeah. You know, like, getting all happy. But I still wasn't like, oh, I need to know her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just wasn't like that.
Because you know what? I didn't realize the content of the music. Like, I didn't, like, to me, because I was, like, never into corridos like that.
Yeah,
so I was like, what am I going to get out of this? Like, but.
Same.
I also just never got into it. But, you know, when you put the story with something, that changes everything.
That's why I have my show, my new one.
Mm. Which one?
My new show is called Play and Pause.
Oh, yeah, I seen that. Yeah. But what's the concept or what?
It's just like that. It's like, I feel like people don't listen to whole albums because they don't want to tap into someone. But more than that, like, I feel like if the artist is there and gets to explain the song and why they wrote it and what they were about when they wrote it, I feel like there is more meaning to like it
always. Yeah. And you so the point of the show is for you to get to that point, like, just, why did you create this music?
Yeah. And not on a serious interview, like, more just like we're hanging out and I just want to know, like, what was going on when you made this. I want to know about you because I feel like if they know more about you and they like the way I like you, they're going to support you.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
You know what? That's really, like, that's really selfless, too. You know, like, you're putting people on in that way. And that's something that I appreciate about you is that what I've noticed in the time that I've been following you is that you're very, like, you share your platform.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I you know what? Getting started in this thing, it's not easy. And I think of Jenny Rivera, too, like, about that stuff, you know, as a woman and everything. Like, we want someone, whether you say it or not, I don't ask for help. But you know people need help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had people in the room, you know, like, they love to enjoy the fruits of my labor, but you know I need help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so for me, I use it to help people the way I wanted to be helped.
Mm.
I feel like when I wanted help from certain people that were like my heroes, certain women in the radio industry, You know, it was all good till they thought I was made. I wasn't coming for nobody's job. I like the same things that you like. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not coming for your podcast. We just both have a podcast.
But it's ridiculous to think. It's ridiculous to think of people as. It's ridiculous to think of your peers as your competition.
I hate it.
Because there's nobody that's my competition. There can't be, because I'm the only person that's like me. So if you have a podcast, how does that threaten mine? You cannot possibly say the same things that I'm going to say.
It doesn't.
So there's no, really, like, doesn't. There's, what's the competition?
There really isn't. And that's to break that. You know what I mean? Like, I say yes to everyone's podcast. There's not somebody that I've been like, nah. You know what I mean? Because it's like, no, that's cool. Like, you're sharing your stage. You're sharing your stage with me right now. You know what I mean? And I enjoy that because I love to do that for other people, so I know how it feels.
Well, because you're a real one. It's not that hard to figure out. It's just, you know, real simple. It's real sad. Ones do real things.
For sure. And honestly, like, fuck, we're just keep losing out on all the humane stuff. Like, I'm trying to keep that shit in style.
Yeah.
You know, like, why can't we?
Make,
like,
it cool because it is, like, it's to be about yourself. You know, it's that capitalism mentality. Yeah. It's like, that's, they groomed us to be about all about self when the way that humanity lasted, like indigenous communities and all that, it wasn't about being about yourself. Yeah. It was about being about community and like taking care of us.
Right. So all that other shit, all the opposite shit is the stuff that ruined it. So I don't want to be a part of it, you know, and I separate myself big time on that. I don't go out there and tell everybody, like, you guys, I'm the realest one. I do this. You don't have to say it. You don't need to tell anybody
that. If you have to say it, it's probably not true.
And half the time, it's those people who are out there claiming the shit. And I'm like, all right, if you're going to buy into it, buy into it. But I could see it. Real recognize real. If you're from the street, you even know more.
That's the title of the podcast. What do you know?
Real. That's pretty good that you came up with the title. I accidentally said that.
Well, it's never nothing's an accident.
Oh, okay. Things there you go. That's fate.
Like, I be getting things in my head like that are like messages, and I'm like, I don't know how or why, but this is the title, and then it will just come back around somehow.
That's a beautiful intuition that you have.
You know what? I just started to trust that.
Oh man, trust it because it's true. It's,
there's nothing more true.
It's, you know more than you think you do. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Well, like the everything from the anxiety, like the anxiety that I was feeling right before the show, it's an alarm. It's telling you that you're about to do something scary. And but what the thing is that most people, when they get to the anxiety part, is this is scary, so I'm going to stop doing it.
Right. And you went through.
You have to go through because your medicine, that doing things that scare you is your medicine.
Oh, yeah. I love doing things that scare me. Except for jumping out of planes and shit. Right. Anybody before, trying to die like that.
I don't know. Like, I kind of want to do it just because, like, I want to have, like, life experiences. But also, it's like, you're you know rolling what? The dice you a know lot. Like,
I feel like this, and I don't care. But I feel like I've been poor most of my life. I would hate to die doing something that costs money. Like, like, please don't let me die doing something rich. Like,
doing something, you're like, that's what I get.
Like, I finally, like, please, like, have me go out. Like, I'd rather go out in my hood for real. Like, I just accidentally got shot somewhere. That's cool. I mean, I would just rather go out like that. Don't catch me on a nice trip and I just never came back.
She dies in Turks and Caicos, swimming with sharks.
Who knows?
Eaten by a shark. Imagine that's how you go out like that. Oh, eaten by a shark.
I hope not. That's like my stepdad's dream right there. No.
Man, well, speaking of going out like that, like how Jenny went out.
Oh, man.
So talk to me about that show because I want to talk about it because I feel like.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Oh, my God. Girl, same way you are. Is the same way I am. So I was like, that was like my part-time job. Like, I was like, I can't go because I still have to know what happens.
I feel you.
But part-time I did have to job. Take a lot of breaks. I had to take a break.
Oh, because it's super triggering.
Bro, that show should come with a warning because some of the scenes are just a little too real. Like, it's like,
you know
it's
what?
Too real. Like, there's moments that are too real.
I'm kind of glad it didn't because I don't know if you felt this way. And, I mean, you probably did if you had to take breaks. But, like, some of those parts, I almost felt like I was going through it, like, because things were triggering me. And I was, like, healing through this damn novella, too.
That's exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
Because those are things, the things that that triggered me, obviously.
Yeah.
Those are unhealed wounds. And so those are unhealed because you've never sat with them long enough.
For sure. And
the show makes you sit with them.
Yes, the show makes you sit with them. But the show does what our shows do, what your podcast does and what my podcast does is that it helps people feel not alone. Mm. You know how many people cannot jump on the mic and say all these things? You know how many people who cannot even say it out loud? That they're, it's just in them. They yeah. don't ever express them. They're not, they don't know how to express themselves. You know, there's,
yeah.
there's,
or won't women, try. Yeah.
Yeah. There's women stuck in the worst relationships right now who won't even, they just are so scared. They would never say a word. You know what I mean? But yeah. they hear these things or they see Jenny and then there's someone who gives them strength.
Yeah.
There's someone that says like, dang, like, it's not just me. I'm not alone here. I'm, you know, like this person did this. So maybe I can do that. And mm-hmm. like that, that's really that show. That's really what it did for me.
Same. It like it inspired me in a way I didn't really know that I could be inspired because I was, I mean, at the time when I was watching that show, I was in like this miserable ass like relationship slash not really a relationship, just like yeah. being lied to the entire time and like
toxic.
So I was in this space where I needed strength.
Yeah.
I really needed strength and I got it from Jenny and she's dead.
Kind of, because for the first couple of them, I was like,
bitch, I know.
Get it together.
I know. Bitch. I know.
You know, she was making me mad, but it was also it was triggering me about like that part was actually just triggering me on my like my mom and my stepdad. Like I felt like, you know, there was so many times in our lives I felt like my mom should leave and I wanted her to leave. And so when I was watching Jenny, I was just kind of like, oh my God, why won't she leave? Why won't she leave? You know, but she was so young. She was so young and she had to go through her own experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And every other thing that was in there from the molesting, like,
girl, that those parts, it was the music for me.
Yeah.
You know that same how they would play the same little like melody, like a little jewelry box melody, uh-huh. like uh-huh. that was so haunting and and just ooh, God, I know, it gives me chills.
It's one of those things too that you're like, I'm doing it again.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, like, okay, I'm going back in, but you got to know what happened.
Yeah, I was actually super depressed around that time. Like, I actually just took, like, this online test, okay? No doctor or nothing, but I took this online test, and it says that I'm, like, moderately have severe depression. Mm-hmm. So it's moderate. Comes and it goes, and it comes and it goes. Mm-hmm. And during that time, so I was just in my bed. Like, it's to the point when I was FaceTiming, like, my friend's daughter, I FaceTime with her a lot, and she was like, the little boy came in, and she's like, you're still in that dark room? I was like,
you're like, oh, it's gonna be a couple more weeks. Still got a few more weeks in here.
But I sat there, I just laid there and watched this damn thing, and I still worked, and mm-hmm. I still worked, and I still did that, but watching the whole damn thing, it made me stronger, and it made me realize that, like, I needed to see that at that time for some reason.
Same.
And I needed, honestly, I needed Jenny's energy one day or another. Someday it was going to come, and it came for me, and it was honestly one of the best things that could happen. Yeah. For real. I pray to her sometimes. Mm.
Like, yeah, you mentioned that when you interviewed her son, that you asked her for permission, and that you,
yeah,
like, I don't know if you know that, but those are all, like, extremely spiritually advanced things to do. Like, I don't, it just comes naturally to you, and I can see that, you know, like, that wisdom just in you. But those things, like, you know, asking her for permission and you know, telling her, asking her for a blessing, all those things are, like, really spiritually advanced, like, things to do.
You know what? My friend says the same thing when it comes to the therapy talk. She's like, I don't even know how you know that, or, you know, like, I don't know.
Because it
comes out.
It
comes out. Like, I if I feel it, I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. So, like, even after that interview, it was such good feedback from that Johnny interview that, like, after, I kind of felt like this really humbling feeling. I got on my knees, and, like, I put my head down. I prayed to God. I told him thank you and blah, blah. I told Jenny thank you. But I also said, you know, you have to see me, homegirl. Like, you have to see that. Maybe you're not here, but there's people like you here. Mm-hmm. And, like, the way I tell God to use me, I said the same thing. Like, use me. Like, help us. Because the way your story helped me and you're not here, we need people down here to keep doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, her daughter, like, Cheeky's, like, she's on her own path and she's focused on music, you know what I mean? So she's not Jenny, you know what I mean? There was only one Jenny.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know who you're going to pass your stuff down to, but if it's me, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready. And kid you not, something crazy happened.
What?
Something crazy. Remember you told me if I bought this?
Yeah.
And I told you no.
Yeah.
So everything, if you go to my studio and you see everything, I didn't buy not one thing in that studio. Like, God brought that to me. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy came. He helped me with my sound. Norbert, he's probably in the chat right now. Shout out to Norbert.
Shout out.
I give him love. I show him. I tell everyone he's my producer. He helps with. He came through to my life after that. And I feel like she sent him to me. Because this was the person that, like, the way you're doing everything alone and stuff, like, I was doing everything alone, and I didn't have much. And he was like, you're good. Like, you need this, and you need that, and you need that. And I was like, dude, like, that sounds great, and I'm sure I do, but I don't have money. Like, I just do what I can.
Yeah, with so what I got.
I was working with my audio, and I was fine with it. Yeah. I was content because I don't have the money like that, you know? So he came in, and he just started providing. But mind you, before I started my podcast, it wouldn't have started if my homie Aaron didn't buy the Scarlett for me. It would have never started if my cousin Jimmy didn't buy the mics. People were like, when are you going to do this thing? And I was like, oh, just, you know, it's going to take a little time because I have to buy everything. Mm-hmm. And people were not hesitant on being there and, like, providing that for me.
Yeah.
But Norbert came in with the cameras, the different lenses, the tower, the, you know, this thing, and he came in with all that stuff and wanted to help and wanted to stay and help. And it's not for nothing.
It's not for nothing because it's obvious. People invest in people who are investing in themselves.
Yeah.
I get it, and who see that potential. Like, of course you acknowledge them, but they don't come for no reason. Like, it's out of love, of course, but it's also out of, like, I see you.
I accepted it. It took me a long time. When you grow up poor, it's very hard to accept things. You know what I mean? You're just like, no. Especially my mom was like, don't even ask for cookies. You know what I mean? Don't ask for nothing. They say you're hungry, just shut up. You know? So I was like, I've gotten to an age where I'm becoming more accepting of what God wants me to have.
Yeah.
And every time I try to run away from this thing, he pulls me back. Mm-hmm. Things like that happen. If I'm ready to give up, something happens. But I really felt like when this guy showed up, it was because of her. Mm-hmm. I did. I think he was like, she was like, all right, you want to go to the next level? I'm going to help you out. And, like, we are.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, you know what? After I watched the show, I started reading the book. Well, I don't read, so I just listened to the book on audiobook.
Smart.
And, oh, but you know, I'm lying. That's a lie. Wow, I just told a lie. I'm lying because she didn't do it on audiobook. So their only way to read that book, Unbreakable, is to read it.
I've heard about this.
So I've taken it's taking me, because I'd be reading like a page at a time.
Girl.
You know, the words just move around and stuff.
I understand.
But I'm a great listener. So if she would have put it, if she would have recorded it, I would have been finished it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But the story of the book, it matches the show perfectly. So you're like, it's fact-checking kind of, you know. Yeah.
That's good.
You know, so
that's good to know.
That's what I like about it. But then also, she just keeps it so real that it makes you feel like, I don't know, it's like she's like the patron saint of keeping it real.
For sure.
So, it's a guiding light. It's a guiding light of, like, how to do it, a blueprint.
100. So, you know, I always wanted to be on radio, okay? And the reason, like, I've been at Power to try out for Power. I've gone to Arizona to try out for that Power. I have not been accepted into the radio, okay? And people will be like, oh, I'm so shocked and blah, blah, blah. But I'm not that shocked because I know that I just keep it a little too real. Mm-hmm. And that might not be for clean
commercial
radio.
Air.
Yeah, you know? And for a long time, I took things personal, right? Mm. But it is what it is. You have to go through life and you have to fail. And I failed in front of everybody. And I would tell people, like, okay, like, it is what it is. I failed, you know? But I never stopped, you know?
But you tried, and that's something that most people won't do.
Oh, no, for sure. But when I saw her and I saw the things even after that she did, I was like, I'm right. I was right this whole time. Mm-hmm. Because, like, even with, like, weed, people are like, oh, you can't, you know, you're smoking blunts and blah, blah. And people want to see people helping each other. Like, no, I help people, but I don't record myself.
I'll help you roll that blunt.
But I'll do that, too. But, like, I have always tried to help as much as I could and with what I have or whatever I can do. I don't see myself as a bad person, but I also don't record everything, and I'm not working in a radio where they send me to children's hospital. So, I get what you're saying, but that's not real, you know? And it's been a hard it's been very hard to stay myself because people have wanted me to change in order to get jobs.
Yeah.
But I have been very strong and very prideful to say, no, I feel like us women are out here.
So, super out here.
So I don't, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be the girl who does the reports and does a funny laugh and, like, you know, like, just does things to please the men around in the room.
You know what? On July 1st, when I was watching it, when I was reading the book, this is what Jenny Rivera said in the book. I refused to stop being myself, regardless of what it might cost me.
Wait, say it again?
She said, so she was talking about her music, and she wasn't getting played on air for shit.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what she said about that. She said, I refused to stop being myself, regardless of what it might cost me. So she was like, I'm not going to stop making this music because it pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't like to see a woman singing about that shit. That was, like, new, you know?
It's, you know what, men don't like, it's weird. I don't know why men get so pressed. And not all men.
Because you do know why.
We have all men. We have some men that love it.
No, there are.
But most men, that narcissist, you know, machismo.
Because it threatens them. A strong, secure man is not threatened by a strong woman.
Yeah, exactly.
That's matching energy. That's two alphas matching energy.
100.
But
that's what that is.
If you are a man and you can't like handle that, that's because it's triggering you, bro.
Yeah.
You're triggered.
Yeah. And it's crazy because I'm not like a crazy feminist and I be talking shit. Like, I grew up always being in a barbershop. So, like, I'm roasting with the fellas. Like, I'm good. Like, everyone's fine. But, and I can handle all the conversations that go on with guys. The nasty ones, everything. But for some reason in this field, it ain't like that. But that's because I realize a lot of people like me.
Like, what do you mean it ain't like that?
Like, I've been in front of people who have big personalities or big names. But when I come around and I've tried out with them or done certain things, that there's like a little like...
Like haterade?
A little haterade. And I'm like, what did you invite me here for?
Yeah.
Didn't you want someone who was good? Didn't you want someone that people liked?
No, but this is a thing. Bronx Tale.
Hmm.
They want you to be good, but never better than them.
Yep, for sure.
Never better than
true.
Them.
That's true.
Wow. That's game. That's game. There's game comes from everywhere.
And that's literally probably what Jenny went through, because that's what it felt like. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I was done watching that, I started watching her reality show again.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it would be on and I would watch it and I'd be like, oh, she's funny, you know? But then this time I had that background of her.
Uh-huh.
And then I watched it again and I was like, you know what? This is a sign.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in signs. I believe that things come into your life for a certain reason at a certain time. You know what I mean?
100%.
And, I always pray for God to show me signs.
Yeah.
So even more so that, like, I was taking it in as a sign that, like, you're doing the right thing, but you got to keep staying yourself. You know what I mean? I've never wanted to be anybody else. But I noticed in order to get the jobs or certain things that, people
you gotta,
want
like,
someone else.
They want you to morph into a...
Disneyland princess.
Bitch, a Disney version of yourself. Like, okay, do you... You want to know what happened one time? Let me tell you. So they asked me... So Pasadena Media... I grew up in Pasadena. Media asked me...
That's the Trader Joe's I worked at.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
On Lake, right there by Lucky Boy?
Oh, wait. The other lake. By Dalmore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
Lucky Boy's fire though.
Hell yeah, breakfast burritos.
Oh girl, my weakness. Yes, that deserves that.
What was I gonna tell you? Oh, so the dude from Pasadena Media, let me just set this story up a little bit. So this guy's like what you would call like a silver fox, okay? Like an old dude, like with like he's like
white pepper hair,
still has a tan, like an old TV guy.
Okay,
kind of sleazy, kind of like
I know what you mean.
Has an Emmy on his desk,
an old
that he got
fox.
many moons ago. Yeah. Like still trying, you know, like so whatever.
Still
he's wearing like a
that.
Silver suit with like a silver tie, like bro,
wow.
Like not silver,
yeah.
But anyway, so like this guy asked me, he's like. No, the first time he seen me, he went like this to me. Have you ever seen yourself on... I swear to God. No, but not me getting excited about it when that happened.
Are you calling me a loser?
I was like, no. No, because the first time I was ever on TV, this guy asked me to be on a show. And then this guy is the owner of the station,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay.
So that's the guy I'm talking about. So this guy asked me to host the Latino Heritage Parade in Pasadena.
Oh, okay.
That was the first time I ever did anything, like, you know, for them.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, but he's like, okay, I want to talk to you before you host, right? So he brings me in the office and he sits me down and he's like, you know, so this is kind of the vibe I'm going for. He's like, definitely, you know, love your look. Like, definitely, you know, want the whole, like, Latina package. But just don't be too Latina.
Ooh.
And then I was like, well, I'm going to just be as Latina as I am right now and hope that that works out. Because I don't know what you mean by that at all.
Yeah.
If you would like to explain further. And then he was like, no, you know what I mean. And I was just kind of like, I mean, I'm still going to do it because it's an opportunity for me. But yeah, that was weird. So they want you, but they want you muted, toned down. They want you palatable. They want you to be able to...
I think most people...
commercialize yourself.
I think most people that I've gotten, you know, in front of with being in charge of producing or things like that, radio people, whatever, I think most of them just getting to know me for a little bit have probably been way too scared to even say something like that to me. Mm. But I have had someone tell me I need to look hotter.
Hotter?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I got the same thing. But what did they tell you exactly?
They just said, like, that my outfit was not good enough and that they need me to look hot. You know?
Like a job, they were trying to hire you and they were like, yes, but you got to change your outfit? Wow. Yeah. And what was your response?
All right.
Yeah.
I knew it. Like, I was like, okay, I know that that's, like, super offensive. I know that that was, like, pretty sexist. Like, you're not telling all the guys to look nice.
Hot,
you're not telling all the guys to. But everywhere I went, I noticed that when I went to the radio station, take off your jacket.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I was like, you're not telling any of these fat guys to take off their jacket. You know what I mean? Like, it's cold in here. Why do I have to take off my jacket?
Mm-hmm.
But, I know that that sometimes comes with it. And it's honestly, it has really given me you know, with weight, we're women. So we always have some type of insecurity, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But that gave me a hard time where I was
like in what way? Like, what thoughts did you start having about yourself?
Well, I was like, in order to feel comfortable in those clothings, like in that clothing, I would have to me, I was like, oh, I have to lose my weight.
Uh-huh.
And I became even more like super obsessive with it because mm-hmm. I was like, if I don't look good, I could lose this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And this person was not censoring me. So I was like, this would be good. Your hair. Like,
gracias.
I don't want you to... We were talking about this.
Yeah, you're looking rough.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're good. But yeah, I was like, I need this. And, you know, it's not like I had to show my ass or anything, but, like, there was that little critique that...
Yeah, like just put goes just with a little you. Tighter. Mm-hmm. Like, they just... It's those little things.
Oh, yeah. So mm-hmm. I was like, all right. But I killed myself that year to look the part. But I didn't feel the part still.
Because you're playing a part, and you're not supposed to be playing a part. You're supposed to be playing yourself.
For sure.
And there's no playing when you do that. You just show up.
It's just not the same when you're working out for yourself is one way. Because I've always been the type of person that likes to work out.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up athletic. So I'm like, if you're athletic, even more so, like, you shouldn't be able to run. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. do it often. But this time, I was going ham, you know, like... two times in there, like, just not eating purposely, like...
Because it was self-hate that was fueling you. And then that person planted that seed, and that shit grows.
Yeah.
And it turns into, like, this, like... I don't know, this
It's
weird...
a monster, dude. Yeah. It's a monster. It's a monster that affects me to this day. To where, like, I haven't even hit these people up to be like, hey, like, can I get my job back? In fact, I did, but for a further date out. I was like, oh, in December, can I come, you know, mm-hmm. do that concert? And then they're like, yeah. But I was just like, I don't feel like I look good enough to do those things because I'm going to have to hear that again. And I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. But, like, those are some of the things that we got to go through. You know, I watched Jenny and I'm like, she was thinking about it, too. Like,
well, they were fucking mean to her about her appearance. Like,
there's no running away from some of that shit because we're women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fat Joe could come out here, though, and everyone is on the nut. Like, Fat Joe, that's Fat Joe. Like, okay. Cool, DJ Khaled's out here doing dances with
a shirt off,
with no shirt off.
Bentley. Like,
and honestly, I could have gone without that post.
Yeah.
Like, for real. Like, I was eating at the time.
Without that post.
I was eating at the time, and it motivated me. I was like, I'm good. I'll stop
eating. But he was shaking it too. Like, he was shaking it.
I was just like, see, we could never. Because you know what? Here's the thing. That's funny, but I just saw a girl who. Got kicked out of the, I think it was like the Alaska Airlines or something like that because I guess she was hot. So she took off her shirt and she had a sports bra and she had like black Spanx on, But, you know, it comes up to here. So you only see this much of our body, right? When you wear it like that. A big girl, too.
Yeah.
They told her to put her shirt on. She put her shirt on. She had a crop top. And she's a big girl. It still showed a little bit. They ended up taking her off the flight because they said she wasn't dressed appropriately.
But if it would have been a skinny girl, what?
Check this out. During those times when I worked at this company, I was at my skinniest. And I would fly out and this and that. And I remember I used to wear the most less clothes ever on those flights because it was just easier. You get through everything easy.
Yeah, like, you don't have people, to take off a jacket.
Yes, people aren't checking you for guns. Like, the first time I went, yeah, I got checked for guns one time. Like, I was like, oh, no, I'm never doing this again. So, like, I was really thin. I'm wearing just a little bralette and some shorts and sandals. And I'm just like, boom. And when I watched that clip, I was like, dang, that hurt. That made me mad. It hurt my feelings. It made me mad. I felt embarrassed for her. I felt hurt for her.
Yeah.
I felt all these things. And I just thought, like, if it was a skinny fucking bitch, y'all wouldn't have said shit.
No, they just would have been staring.
That's it.
Nobody would have said shit.
Nobody had a problem. Like, you guys couldn't handle this much of skin? Like, are you crazy? Like, are you guys crazy?
Well, because it's fat phobia that runs real deep into, like, our culture. Not just fat phobia, but the policing of women's bodies. Like, what is this doing to you? Like, look away. Look away. Like, it's hot.
It's so crazy to me. It's so crazy to me. So, like, even I'm very, like, insecure about the whole weight thing. I really am. And it's not, people think like, oh, like, you don't have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Shut up, girl. You're blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But,
your own life.
It's depending on what you go through with certain people in your life. And those things happen.
Insecurities happen from very specific experiences.
For sure. And I grew up with my sister being overweight our whole lives, you know, since she was a little girl. Mm-hmm. And I've always been, you know, I'm my sister's keeper. I'll fight you. Mm-hmm. Like, even if she is fat, call her fat and see what the fuck happens. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's always been a very touchy subject. So when that happened, I mean, your girl was starving. So when the pandemic hit, I was like, serve me up.
Yeah.
Serve me up. I stopped caring. Mm. I stopped caring so much. And then I gained weight, of course. And I'm probably like 20 pounds overweight from what I was. But I also noticed how much of my work I got done, how much creativity I had.
Because you weren't, like, all focused on your appearance?
Yep.
Because it was just about your mind. Like, yeah. It's like, what can I create without the pressure of outside influences telling you that you need to look a certain way while you do it? You know, like, and I will admit that I did kind of, like, make a change because of this. But someone told me, like, why do you always wear big T-shirts on your podcast?
Same.
And I was like, well, like, because I'm comfortable. And they're like, yeah, but, and then even though I talked shit back to that comment,
mm-hmm.
What did I do on the next podcast?
Wear a big shirt?
No, I wore a small ass tank top. Yeah. So it was like,
affect you.
Like, I talked shit about that.
Yeah.
But then it affected me so much that it actually still did change my behavior.
It's crazy. But it some things really just get under that skin, you know? Right now, I'm 3 weeks in of, like, eating better, you know, and it's all like discipline.
Are you doing meal prep?
I'm kind of meal prepping for myself a little bit here and there. I'm doing like a shake, like as a replacement meal and stuff like that. Like this week, I want to try getting back to being physical. It's not so much about how I look, more to say. It's more about the world right now. And I feel like the world is a little crazy.
Yeah.
And I feel like being healthy might help me mentally. You know what I mean?
But it will.
It will, you know, and I'm trying to get back to that, but I don't have, I'm not trying to use those pressures to do it because if I do, I won't do it.
Yeah.
I won't do it. Like, it really triggers me. It triggers me when I think about, like, oh, I have to lose weight by this time because I'm going to do this. Like, it triggers me. I start feeling major anxiety about it.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of on this place right now where I'm like, I'm actually uncomfortable in certain clothes right now, of like my own clothes, and I don't feel like buying more.
Yeah,
so
same.
I just need to lose the weight to fit back into my clothes because a bitch don't want to buy more.
Well, there's two options. You either lose the weight or you decide to love yourself how you are, and that's harder than losing the weight.
Yeah.
So it's like losing the weight is actually easier than learning to love yourself. But that for me is like what the season of self is. Don't get me wrong, I still do my hikes, but I don't do them for the same like goal that I did before. Like, now I'm literally going because I need to do my sunset ceremony, but it just so happens that I have to walk up a long ass thing, and that gives me exercise on the way.
Yeah.
So it's like, it kills two birds, but at the same time, it's not the same intention that I had. Like, I don't show up there because of it's going to help the way I look. I show up there because I need it. Yeah. But it also doesn't hurt that it...
Your intention, like, is everything.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, if it was for them, you weren't going to do it.
It just... I can't because it honestly makes me... I think I fear it now because I knew what I put myself through when I was doing it. And, like I said, I knew. Once that pandemic started, the way I was eating, the way I was doing that, I was like, bitch, you were starving.
Mm.
Like, you were so hungry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so in different ways than just food too. Like because you know, we get our worth from these, like, so weird how our insecurities are tied to, like, our self-worth. Like, we think that the things that we're insecure about, that because I don't have this type of body type, that means something about me.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. For a minute I would, like, after high school, like a couple years, like, all my friends started getting the titties, you know? Like, everybody got fake titties.
Now it's the BBL.
Yeah, now it's the BBL, right? But back then, I was like, dang, like, looking at the radio people, some of those radio people got the titties, too. And I was just like, damn, like, I might have to do this.
Yeah.
Like, as stupid as it sounds, like, I might have to do that in order to do this. But I never did. You know what I mean? Like, it just was that thing.
And you're,
like,
still doing it.
And I'm still doing it. Yeah. You know? But shout out to the homie Chris who was going to buy that for me.
The sponsor.
Shout out to the sponsor who was like, I got you. Don't trip. But no, for real. I was really contemplating that. And now I contemplated just getting older because I'm like, I just feel like I want to feel, like, a certain way with my clothes. And, like, you know, like, I just, for certain things, I think about it differently. But I don't think about it that way anymore. And I'm just glad because... I did it without the titties.
Yeah.
And straight up.
And, you know, like, that goes back to the Jenny Rivera thing, like, about, like, I refuse to stop being myself no matter what it costs me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that reminds me of what you're telling me.
If I have to fucking go back to Trader Joe's, that will be what the fuck it's going to be. Mm-hmm. If that's what God, you know, that's the place, it'd be better than selling my soul. You know what I mean?
Man, you just keep telling the truth and you're going to get where you need to go. That's what I can see already. And that's what that's why I fuck with you.
I appreciate
it. I think that it's like, it's when you see people doing what you know they were put on this earth to do, it's real easy. If you're like someone that's not a hater, it's real easy to point that out and see it be like, oh no, I see that.
It's silly for people to even do that part without knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had no idea any of those things that you told me about yourself, the way you grew up, your parents, this and that. Like, do you want to know what I did think? I was like, just from, like, tapping into you just a little bit, and from the moment I started following you, I was like, oh, it's a smart, educated Latina that is just, like, she's putting her education to a podcast. And, like, you're like, I can't even read. I'm like, bitch, me neither. Like, you know what I mean? But, like, it's never.
I can't read. I just don't want to.
It wasn't hate. You know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't even have that hate, but I did think something else. Like, I was already thinking something better.
Yeah.
But not everybody has that. Mm-hmm. Most people will, like,
go to the worst thing first.
Go to the worst thing first.
Yeah.
Here's this Latina trying to have a podcast just like the rest of the Latina. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, dude, just.
No, most people will hate on what they can do, you know, or what they won't try.
True.
That's really, let's change that. Most people won't hate on what they can't do. They hate on what they won't try.
They won't even try. I always say it's always easy to talk shit from the couch.
Ooh.
It's like the best place to talk shit. For real. The couch. Good luck.
Exactly.
I'll be running laps around you.
Remember that song? You're standing outside the club. You can't even get in.
You can't even get in. For real. No, that's real, though.
No, you didn't even show up to try, though. That's the thing. It's like the one thing that Jenny Rivera's life showed us, the one thing that Nip's life showed us, the one thing that anybody who's ever done something in this life has showed us is that the one thing that they didn't do was give up. They just kept going. And just continued doing the same thing, being consistent, being disciplined, being focused, being clear on what your intention is, on why you're doing what you're doing. Like, I know why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because I need to tell the truth.
For sure.
And because someone needs to hear it, and I need to say it. And if I don't say it, it's gonna make me explode. So I got to let it out somewhere.
Isn't it weird that you mentioned, like, Nipsey, right? And then you mentioned Jenny. And I've been saying this, and you'll hear it in the podcast. I'm not sure which ones you've heard, but... I'm not waiting for somebody to really give me flowers now because I have already seen that people hate more than congratulate and you really don't get it till you're gone.
Yep.
You know, you just mentioned two people who are gone. Like, the only person I know who's alive that we do give flowers to is probably Big Boy.
Mm. Oh, he just got his star. And shout out, Big Boy. Shout out, Big Boy.
So deserved. So loved in LA.
LA radio would be nothing without Big Boy.
And honestly, you don't even have to be from LA. You love Big Boy, yeah. You know? And
it's that heart that just, like, comes through. Like, I remember, actually, 9/11 was yesterday.
Yeah.
Shout out to, you know, that entire situation, like every single person that has been a part of that, I can't even imagine. But I know we all remember where we were. And I remember where I was. It was the first day of eighth grade. And I woke up, and the first thing I would always do is I would turn on my radio with my big ass Tupac poster on top of my radio. It was like a big ass radio, too. It had like 2 tape players and like
back when we had those
5 CD changer. I was living the life, okay?
Oh, yeah.
My dad had got that at St. Vincent de Paul. At the thrift store, and he brought it to my house, and I felt like I was rich. Anyways, so I turned on the radio, and it was Big Boy, and you know how he went, like, you knew something was wrong. Like, he just never sounded like that. That's like, he funny. Never sounded so, like, somber. Like, you knew it was serious.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I was listening to him the same morning.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was with my mom and my sister. We were in the car, and we were going to, like, Vaughn's first before school for some reason, and, yeah, in the car, Big Boy was on, and we just were like, why is Big Boy sound that? Why is it so quiet?
It's so quiet.
There was no bell. There was no hello, you know? It was no song intro. None of that. And it was just like, whoa. And I thought about it yesterday. That's crazy.
Yeah.
We were both listening to the radio at that same moment.
And I remember when I walked out from my room and went to my mom's room, and she was watching this, and I saw the second plane hit, and she was like, her face looked like just... like, you look at, that's the person you look at, you know, like, when you're like, I don't know what to do. And she looked at me like, I don't know what's going on. Like,
isn't that crazy?
That was like a very crazy moment. Yeah. Yeah. The second plane hit, I think I saw the first plane hit when I was at home. And then the second plane, I think I was like on the way to school and they heard it on the radio.
They
I don't know.
Sent us home early.
Yeah.
I remember it was like midday. And then we were like watching everything on the news. Our teacher was like, this is important. Shout out Mr. Sarah. He was one of the coolest teachers. I didn't like teachers. I didn't like school. So shout out to him.
Mm.
But he let us watch it. And then sure enough, he got a call and they were like, everyone's going home like early.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, I was scared. I was like, is this going to happen out
You know,
here?
In the like, same way, like in the same way in the beginning of the pandemic, we were like, we had no clue what, so we didn't know what to be scared of. Remember when everybody was like still like wiping off their groceries and stuff? Like we had no idea what to expect or what to even, how to handle this.
Yeah.
I remember in the beginning of that event, I remember after that, like feeling very, it's so weird how I look back and now I'm like, bitch, I would never, but I remember feeling so patriotic. I was like, you remember like they sold us this like fucking like dream. Like they sold us this like a narrative. And I feel like I remember buying into it. Like, I remember. And now, like, as an adult, I'm like, bitch, I would never. But
And as an adult, like, even yesterday when people were posting, like, I didn't post it, you know. And I didn't post it because I was trying to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
But I didn't post it because they were, as an adult, you learn all the things that were behind a lot of that stuff.
You learn what's true and what's not. And what's part of the part of the great American narrative, which is the same story they try to tell you. The same story they write about in the history books. The same story about Thanksgiving. The same story they try to sell you about America being the hero. And when you find out that that's not true... it's hard to be sentimental about things like, course you'll be sentimental about people dying.
For sure. And I thought about that because you know what? One thing that was the saddest part of that is not only just people's friends and families passing away or, you know, whatever was happening. But when people were jumping out because they didn't want to burn, that I remember that so much. And so when people were posting, you know, footage of it yesterday, it brought me back to that part. And my heart is with that part. My heart is with them there. But I was just like, you know what? As a whole, if we're going to be like, oh, this is the day to write, never forget and never forget, then there's so many things that we should never forget that aren't ever brought to our attention this way.
Yeah.
So I was just like, you know what? There's some things that I just choose not to be, I don't have to say anything negative about it, but I will just like not say anything at all.
And yeah. You know, I'm kind of the same way. Like I also saw posts that I was like, you know what? No, because it wouldn't have been coming. I would have just been genuine. Posting because everyone else is posting. That's not what I do. So if I don't feel moved, I'm not going to do it. But I did know it was 9/11, and I did think of that day.
Yeah, like no one hit me up and tell me that because you know what? Yeah, I never forgot, actually. I was there. I
remember,
saw it.
Remember that was their slogan, never forget. Bitch, we're not. We're not going to forget.
We haven't forgot. Like that was something we actually got to see and like live through.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't I can imagine that it's probably even crazier out there. You know, during those times, in New York, that it's probably very haunting. You know what I mean? But, like, even for us to also witness that on TV and hear people, see people be emotional and people be covered up and all those things, it takes you back and you're like, yeah, that makes me really sad.
That was like the same way the pandemic is a collective trauma that we share. Like, we just share it. It's the same thing as 9/11. And it was cool because years later, as a grown-up, I was a bottle service working at Belasco.
Oh, okay.
And that's Belasco. I got to meet Big Boy because he just came there and I told him about that. And I was like, I still remember. And I was like, you're the only... like radio personality that I feel like I can feel you. Like you can feel the love that he had, like the energy, the love he has for the city. Like
our era was like people could say, oh yeah, we always listen to Big Boy and blah blah, but I'm sorry. Like during those eras of Big Boy, like oh my goodness, like he was our neighbor. Like he was like a tío. Like he was someone
you trusted.
And for some of us who didn't have many men in our lives, he was a man in our life. Mm. You know what I mean? He was like a friend, a homie. Like, he is a big reason why I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Mm. You know? Because I was like, I want to do that. He helped me.
Yeah.
My mom, you know, we loved him. We laugh at him. Luther Lufay. Like,
oh, my God. Remember phone taps?
Phone taps were crazy. Got your phone taps. What you going to do?
Yeah. That was like the highlight of the morning, the drive to school.
The best. Yeah. Oh, he would kill us. He would kill us. And he honestly, those are the
does
most
does he still do
times.
Those? No, huh?
No.
Luther
Lufay.
Oh, my God. I remember that. Those just were so funny.
He brought them back for a little bit, but they just weren't the same.
Yeah. That was an era. That was definitely an era.
I know. I always wish that, like, a new Big Boy would step in there someday, but we'll see.
I mean, you know, it's hard to recreate the...
It really is hard to recreate a Big Boy, but we got great personalities out there. Don't keep them just in podcasting. Yeah. Throw them on the radio. You know, make those drives better.
We're coming to the end. This feels like it flew by. You know,
we're
like
talkers, girl.
Talkers talk.
She's like, I'm nervous. Are you nervous? I'm like, nah, girl. We're just gonna
shoot and talkers talk. That's how it goes.
I do both.
But the way I want to end is, I want to ask you to just like craft a message for like a little girl in Montebello who might one day want to be on the radio, might one day want to do media hosting. Mm-hmm. What do you want her to know about herself? What do you want her to know about this world? And how would you motivate her to stay with that dream?
That's strong. I would say to her right now, if she's a little girl, that she is worth more than she thinks she is right now.
Mm.
And that someday when she gets to the level of pursuing what she wants to do, she needs to go hard. And she needs to thug it out.
Yeah.
And she needs to never, ever give up. Go with her heart. Go with her intuition. And try to block out any negativity that comes her way. Separate yourself. Love yourself. And keep going.
Yeah. Keep going.
That's really it. Like, if I could... I have a picture of myself. When you said that right now, that picture came into my head. And I do that with that picture. That I see the... I see so many things in that picture. I tell that to my younger self for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, cause that's what it's always felt like. I wanted to give up a long time ago. I'm the same way, girl. I don't want to be here all the time. Like I wanted to leave so many times, you know? And it's because of that part. It's cause as a little girl, I didn't feel, worth anything,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then you get older.
You take it with you.
You take it with you. Mm-hmm. And that's a lie. The devil is a lie.
Mm-hmm. The good thing about growing up is that you get the chance, you get a second chance because now your parents are not raising you anymore. So now you get the opportunity to re-parent yourself.
True. It's true. And especially if you have young parents, I would say to, give your parents time to grow up too. Like you don't realize how young and dumb like they were until you're that young and dumb.
And you're like, it's funny because I have like kids that I've mentored And one of them told me, they was like, yeah, so he went to college and everything. And he was like, yeah, you know, fucking college sucks. Like, you know, telling me all this shit. And I was like, yeah, I should have told you, like, about that. I should have told you. He was like, you're the one that told me to apply. I was like, yeah, but when I was your mentor, yeah. I was, like, so much, you know, so I was, like, giving the best advice I had at the time.
Yeah.
But as you grow, you get access to better advice and more experience. So it's like,
yeah.
I was giving you the best advice I had.
For sure. And I see nothing wrong with college. A lot of people bring this topic up. And I push college on people. Like, if you are like that and you're smart or you like to indulge in knowledge, like, go for it. Because I feel like that's a gift. Like, go do that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's one thing to do it because you want to do it. And it's another thing to do it because you feel like that's what you're supposed to do. Because college ain't for everybody.
Dude, or you just feel so lost, you don't know what to do. Yeah. So you just go there. Yeah. Don't do that.
Because that's the next step,
yeah,
they tell you.
Don't do that. That's a bunch of waste of money if you're going to do that. Like,
yeah.
Know what you know that, like, I'm there to absorb and I want to know more. Mm-hmm. If that's you, go. If that's not you,
yeah,
you might not want to waste your time or money.
That's why the season of self, mm-hmm. that... You can start that at any age. The earlier you start it, the better. But like I said, you can't know where you're going at all until you, like, know who you are.
For sure. And it's hard trying to find that out.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when...
it takes long.
There's a blur of things. There's distractions in your life and whatnot. You want to find you. Like, see what you like to do. See what's appealing to you. But guess what? We have YouTube College.
Yeah.
You could learn literally
YouTube University.
YouTube University.
I'm an alumni.
There you go.
I am.
I'm still going.
This has been, like, just, you made me feel so comfortable. I'm so glad you were here. And I appreciate everything you bring. Like, you don't just bring wisdom. You don't just bring, like, you know, your personality of, like, being cool and fun. You bring light.
Thank you.
And that's so important and that's so, like, needed in this world.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing.
I think you're doing the same thing.
Thank you.
For sure.
Thank you.
I'm happy that you invited me.
Yay. And now, do we just become best friends? I'm just kidding.
But you know what? I'm going to have to invite you to mine.
I would love to go.
We just did this, so we'll give it, like, a little bit of time. Yeah. But I think my audience will definitely, like, love you.
I'm on my way.
You're doing a great job. Good for you.
Thank you, friend. So this has been the Millennial Mija Podcast. Follow the Homegirl Fox on every single platform, every single project. Play and pause now.
Play and pause and the Homegirl Fox Podcast. Yes. And I'm actually on Syndicate Radio. That is every Monday on Twitch.
Shout out. Syndicate Radio.
Yes.
You know how to follow her. Follow her at the Homegirl Fox. And this has been the Millennial Mija Podcast. Thank you for listening. Shot that? We shot that. Oh, we're still recording. Oh yeah, usually we went so much longer than I usually go. Yeah, but that's good though. It was a good conversation, that's why.
Hello? It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija Podcast.